Well, it's up to you. If you want to stay standing, go right ahead. All right. Well, I'm gonna do the Baptist Gospel plan again today. So here we go. I feel a little closer to you. Okay. Does that sound good? Braxton's like, no. Would this make you feel better, Braxton? I'm kidding, buddy. This morning, if you have your Bibles, we're going to kick off worship and talking about worship. And we're going to be in the book of Mark, chapter 12. And we're going to look at 41 through 44. But before we get to Scripture and read the Scripture together, and we look at the widow this morning. A lot of times when we start talking about worship, I'm sure there's some primary things that always come to mind. It never fails. One thing that comes to mind when we start talking about worship is music. That's always a primary thing that we tend to go to when we start talking about worship. We talk about music. We talk about preaching or messages. And we talk about prayer. Those seem to be the three big items for some reason. And they're good items. They're important items, amen. But those seem to be the ones that we always sort of flow to, we gear to when we start talking about worship or how we worship or why we worship and all those things. And so I want to start this series off a little bit different and go a whole other direction, but it's still an aspect of worship and it's something that we must learn from, and it's the worship of giving. Uh-oh, here goes that preacher again talking about giving, okay? But it is the worship of giving, and we're going to see the story, and y'all know the story well, about the widow's mite. How many of y'all heard that story? Okay, all right, I'm trying to get some hand raising going on in here. But the widow's mite, and it's such a fun story, and it's such a neat story, and it's one that we really should glean from and learn from, but so many times we miss out on it. And the story is so neat because it does, yes, talk about a financial gift, but in reality, we can relay this story, and we can compare this story to the giving of our time. To the giving of our gifts and our talents. And you know, the fact of the matter is, every person sitting in this room this morning, even this guy, I know it's hard to believe, but even this guy standing up here this morning, we all have gifts and talents. You know that? All right, good. I got worried there. I got thinking, man, maybe we need to have some one-on-one sessions to figure out your talents. But I can look around the room and I can see every person sitting in this room. Everybody's got a talent. Everybody's got a gift, and that's evident. And that's not something you have to take some spiritual test for either, guys. Listen, again, common sense theology tells us that if you're good at something, guess what? You have a talent. Isn't that awesome? I mean, you don't have to take a 50-question questionnaire to figure out if you're good at something and God's giving you. And yes, it could be fishing, okay? It could be golfing. It could be shopping. It could be those things. But guess what? That is a talent, a gift that you have, okay? And we can use that for God. But this morning, looking at worship through giving. Now, how many of you, when you came in the room this morning, your priority or your idea was, you know what? I'm just going to give everything to God. Over the course of this next 45 minutes, this hour, 2 hours, I don't know. You know, I'm going to give it all to God. Now, don't raise your hand on that one. Let's leave the hand raising off on that one. But I want you to think about that just for a second. Your priority when you came in this room this morning, this worship center, this sanctuary, your priority was to say, God, I'm here for you. My heart, my mind, my hands, my feet. Here's a big one that we all struggle. My attitude. I am here to give it all to you. Now, that is difficult to do, church. I am not about to stand up here and say, you know, you have something frustrating that happens during the week. Anybody else? I had something frustrating happen this week. Anybody else have frustrations this week? Now, we can show some hand raises. We could probably do this on that one, okay? We have frustrations. And what we tend to do in our human nature and because of who we are, if you're like me, okay, we take those frustrations and we put them somewhere on us, and what do? We carry them with us everywhere we go, right? So if we had frustration this week and we carry it around with us, most likely, where are they at right now? Right here with us, okay? And so we've brought those things in with us. And so it's difficult to give God everything because in our sin and in our human flesh, we tend to carry those things with us. We tend to bring those things in with us. And what that does, and I promise I'll get to the scripture, but what that does is it hinders our opportunity to freely worship in the Spirit a holy God that deserves that from us. Amen? It says in John 4:24, the most popular worship verse there is, it says to worship God in what? Spirit and truth. To worship God in spirit, the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit, which lives in us, amen? Correct? Okay, all right, let's tell our faces the Holy Spirit lives in us. Okay, right? The Holy Spirit lives within us. To worship in spirit and truth means that we allow that Holy Spirit to have free reign of us in this place to be able to worship through truth. And I'm not even getting to the sermon yet. To worship in truth is this right here. Okay, now Peggy, you're going to like this. Okay, I have made several jokes about being Baptist Costal. Amen? And I'll still make that joke because I'm a little crazy, and some of y'all even said, you're a little weird. Okay? I'll take that as a compliment, okay? And that's okay. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter if you're Baptist, if you're Methodist, if you're Church of Christ, if you're Baptist Costal, if you're Pentecostal, whatever that church, it doesn't matter because there's only one truth by which we're to worship by. You know what that truth is? Right here. Right here. And so this morning we're going to learn about worship through giving and how our giving is a worshipful thing. Now we get into routine. Now this is where I could have fun as a pastor. How many of you tithe? Raise your hand. You know, no, I won't do it. Okay, some of you. Look at me. I'm on level 3 in heaven. Right here. Okay, no, I'm kidding. Okay. But I could ask that. But the fact of the matter is, when we start talking about tithing and we start talking about giving, it does matter how we do it in worship. And we're going to read a story. And this, again, and I know I say this a lot, and somebody pointed this out to me. This is one of my favorite little stories in the Bible. And I know I read a lot of stories in the Bible, and I say this is one of my favorite. Maybe that's a preacher thing, okay? But this is one of my favorites too, okay? It's really a neat story. It's really neat. Owen's okay. He's fine. But this is one of these neat stories. And honestly, we can read these verses, and we're going to read them together right now. And honestly, we could preach, or I could preach, or you could preach if you wanted to. We could preach numerous messages from these three verses. There's so much application here. So let's read together, and we'll get into some points together this morning. Again, Mark chapter 12, verse 41. It's fun to see what Jesus does here. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. You see what's going on here, right? It would be like me today, okay? Now, I'm not saying I'm Jesus. Don't take that the wrong way. But it would be like me today saying, okay, deacons, let's get the offering plates and let's pass it down the pew. But it would be doing this. It would be me going like this. What you putting in, Lindsay? What you putting in, Rocky? And that's what Jesus is doing. He's literally sitting in view of people putting in the treasury. He's watching. Now, I guarantee you if people did that today, what would happen? Y'all would say something, right? It's none of your business, right, Rocky? It's none of your business. Don't you be watching what I put in there. But yet Jesus, now let's think about the culture of the times. He's probably even sort of perched back a little bit, laid back a little bit. He's comfortable. He's not sitting in an upright pew like this. And he's watching. And he's watching these guys go by, and all these rich guys are going by, you know. Folks like Coach are walking by, just, you know, dropping it in, you know, probably doing like that. I don't know, something. Then it says, verse 42, it says, "But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny." Verse 43, he says, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, and he says, "I tell you the truth." Isn't it funny that Jesus had to say, "I tell you the truth"? I mean, did the disciples think he was going to lie? I'm sorry, I know I stopped to do this, but he says, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Now, I could pray and wake you at home right now, because if that doesn't touch your heart and does not touch your life in some way as you read that scripture, I don't know what will. Because this story just exemplifies to me the widow, through her worship, through giving, she worshiped God. And when I say, talking about come in here and give everything to God, the imagery that we see in this story of this widow, let's put ourselves in her sandals and think just for a moment. As Jesus says in His own words, she gave everything she had to live on. So in other words, when she left the temple and she left worship, she physically and literally did not know where my next meal is going to come from. Where am I going to stay? What's my next step? So we see that. And so we're going to go through some points this morning that talking about giving through worship. And just sort of run down through here. And the first thing that I see here is that Jesus sees, literally in this story, He was watching, right? Again, I can't get over that. Jesus saw who gave the offerings. He saw it. My question this morning, talking about giving and worship, would be, I guess when I think about this passage, would it matter this morning if you could physically see Jesus in this room right now? Would that change our attitudes about giving and worship? Think about that just for a second, okay? Now, we say we're two or more gathered. He's where? He's with us, right? So He's with us. But imagine for a second that you could physically see Him sitting maybe right here in front of Kathy, right here in this pew. Would that maybe change our perspective in giving and worship? Would it maybe put more of an urgency in us? You think it would? I think it would. I think sometimes, you know, the widow came in there and I don't think she gave everything because Jesus sitting there watching. I think she did it because she had a heart for doing it. But I think sometimes in modern America and our modern worship, I think it would help us to maybe just physically see Him, to put that urgency there and take that complacency away. Would it matter if we could see Him in worship? How do you think Jesus sees you in worship would be another question I ask. Would He be pleased with your worship? Don't answer that out loud. Don't answer that out loud. It's a question to ponder. Would Jesus be pleased with our worship? Let's make it more personal as a group. Would He be pleased with your giving through worship? And we sit there and we can ponder those questions and think about those questions, because when we read about the widow, we see how pleased He was, right? I mean, our goal when we come in here to give and to worship should be to put a smile on Christ's face. Amen? Isn't that your goal? You want that to be your goal? You want Jesus to smile and shine down upon us? That's what He was doing with the widow. So if we can imitate the widow, now you're saying, okay, whoa, now preacher, here, you're about to go off on health and wealth. I'm not going there. I'm not pulling the Olstein move here. I'm not asking you to whip your checkbooks out right now, okay? You hear me? Okay? That comes in the fourth point. I'm kidding, okay? No. But that is the case. We have to ask ourselves a question. Is it really pleasing Him? Is it really honoring Him through our offerings and our worship? Is He smiling by how we're doing those things? Another thing that we see is that Jesus saw how the offerings were given through the worship. He saw how it was given, did He not? Three things I wrote down here. He knows our thoughts, He knows our hearts, and He knows our deeds. Amen? He knows those things. So when we come into worship and worship Him through giving, it's going to matter how we approach that. Amen? It is. 2 Corinthians 9:7. You can write it down, you can flip over there. I'm going to paraphrase real fast for you. It just basically says, God loves a cheerful giver, a joyous giver. It matters. If we come into worship with our giving and our worship through giving and we begrudgingly give to God, how does God respond to you and I? Probably not well. God says, listen, I love the cheerful giver. The attitude by which you give matters to God. And again, how can we not look at the widow and think? I mean, she had to be probably pretty scraggly, very poor, nothing much there. She was clearly lonely. It emphasizes the widow stature of where she was at in life. And even with all that surrounding and all that, her attitude about worship through giving was still to make God the priority, not her. And it says she gave 2 small coins, and it says in Scripture, not even worth a penny. Now, I thought about giving everybody a penny this morning as you walked out the door and said, here, let this be a real good reminder to you. But I figured it'd end up on the tip table somewhere, so I didn't want to do that. I heard a bunch of waiters and waiters today. But it's a good reminder to us to see that our attitude matters in how we do that. And the worship matters also in the fact that when we worship through our giving, it matters how often we do it. In other words, I always like to ask this question when it comes to worship and giving is this. Is do you just give God your leftovers? You know what I mean by that, don't you? You know what I mean by that? Some of y'all looking at me. You ever get your money? How many of y'all have a monthly budget sheet? Some of y'all, it's like all the old folks raising their hand, all the young folks are like looking at each other going, what is that? Is that where we take the receipts out of our wallet? Is that that? No, I see. Sorry, babe, I just threw us under the bus. But it's one of those situations, you know, it's where we're looking at that. We're just saying, okay, God, listen, I've paid this, I've done this. I put this money away for that bass boat. I put this money away for this, and here's what I've got left. Here, I'm going to honor you with this. That's not right, is it? No. It talks about in Scripture that how we tithe and how we give through worship matters because it talks about in Scripture, it talks about that we're to give God our first fruits. You know what that means, don't you? The first and the best of what God has so richly blessed us with. And as I've shared in weeks past, when we give to God, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're re-gifting it back to Him. Amen. We realize that, right? We say everything we own, everything we have is and from God. Amen. Do we believe that this morning? So when we worship through giving and we give back to God, literally what we're doing is re-gifting. We're wrapping it back up what's already God's to begin with, and we're saying, here you go, God. But it makes a difference if we give up our first fruits blessings from Him or if we give up our leftovers. And the point of the story this morning from the widow is this. She not only gave her first fruits, she gave everything she had. You don't think that lady, that widow, did not ponder those 2 little coins and thought, well, maybe I can put one in and keep one and hopefully it'll grow. You don't think she went through that in her mind? I think she did. I think before she got to the temple, even up to the treasury box, I imagine seeing her stress about these 2 little coins, and she probably worried and she stressed and thought, what am I got to do? You know, I've got to live. Yet through it all, she saw the more important aspect of what happened, and she said, listen, I know that if I can just give God everything, what's God going to give me? He's going to give me everything in return. And so that attitude and that timing and what we give God matters. Another thing that we see here, and this is important, God knows our circumstances in worship. And this is going to be important in the weeks to come. Do you realize God understands where you're at right now? Okay, let's try that. Do you believe God knows where you are right now? He does. God knows that there are hurt, that there's burdens, that there's pain in people's lives, even in this room today. Do you realize that? I hope you believe that. I don't just say, you say, well, preacher, you're just saying that because you're a preacher and you're just sort of drawing at my heartstrings. No, I'm not. I just want you to have an understanding that when you come into worship, whether it's through worship, through giving, or the other forms of worship we're going to speak about, I want you to understand today that I know even that when you come in this room, I have an understanding and a full 100% knowledge that God knows that there are circumstances in your heart right now that maybe you have not told another soul about. It may be loneliness. It may be hurt. It may be all of those things. But we have to have an understanding that God knows about our difficulties. God's not saying, come give me everything and I'm not going to be concerned about your burdens. That's not the kind of God we serve, is it? No. He is a loving, just God that when He looks at you and I, He says, listen, I know your pain. I know your hurts. I know your discomforts. I know these things. I mean, He had to look at this widow woman and know just the fact that the story says she's a widow. She is lonely. She's hurting. She's missing family. She has all of these things going on. God knew that. It wasn't a dismissive thing. It wasn't a lack of care or concern. God knew, and that's the reason in this story, it is such an emphasis on the part of the widow giving everything she had because literally she was one that had nothing. So God knows our circumstances. He's concerned about our difficulties. That's the reason when He says, give everything, worship with everything you are. Because His desire, church, look at me, His desire is this, is to be able to wrap His arms physically and literally around you, even today. And hopefully, in that two-way relationship with you, take some of those difficulties away. Take some of those fears away. God this morning physically and literally wants to take your fears and your difficulties and your sadness. You know what He wants to do? He wants to put it on His shoulders and bear it for you. That's the reason when you come in this room, He already knows the circumstances. He knows it. But it goes on to say that God is pleased with our faithfulness, though. We see that in the story. Sacrificial giving depends on what? God's supply, right? Aren't you glad God has blessed us? Are you blessed this morning? You know how I know I'm blessed this morning? I'm standing up here breathing right now, okay? That is a good sign God has blessed me, amen? Now, I could drop over right now. I hope that doesn't happen, but it could happen. But God, you know, when I woke up this morning and I slung my feet over there and I put my feet down and I stood up, guess what? My legs worked. I mean, it sounds silly and it sounds simple, but you know what? God has blessed this guy. God has blessed you. I mean, I really think we, especially as, and I know these two words really don't go together. I get that. A lot of people want to put them together. But as American and Christians, I know that we are, as a nation, we are tremendously blessed beyond our understanding. How would you like this morning? I don't mean this lightly at all, because I can't imagine what's going through their minds. Imagine being a believer or a Christian in Afghanistan today. I mean, we're sitting in here with our air conditioning and our comfortable pews, and there are literally Christians today in a country that their future, literally their future, has one word in it, and that's death. I mean, that's what they're looking at. And we've been blessed and blessed and blessed. And so our sacrificial giving truly depends on God's supply. And He's given us bunches. To whom much is given, much is what? Expected, right? Sacrificial giving also demonstrates God's love, though, does it not? You know why we give to God? Because He's so richly given to us. One of my favorite verses that covers that is Romans 5:8. And again, I'll paraphrase. You write it down. You look it up. It's one of those verses you better just highlight in your Bible numerous times. While we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, while we were still messed up, Christ did what? He died for us. While we did not deserve anything in this world, while we didn't deserve His love, His grace, His mercy, any of those things, Christ still died for us. That to me just demonstrates God's love. And when we sacrificially give, that's what we show the world. We show that love. That's what the widow was showing those rich people. You hear me? Those rich people really thought they were something, didn't they? Did they not? You here with me still? I'll get there, I promise. But I can just see them right now. Let's be honest. They were strutting their stuff, weren't they? Look at me. You know, they probably even held it up and doinked it in there a little bit, you know, make a little more noise. You ever been in a church service where somebody's done that? Had somebody maybe put an offering plate a little harder? Never been there, have you? I've been in one. My favorite was, and this is no joke, and you hear these stories and you read it, but I've actually seen it happen where somebody was attempting to hold the plate up because they were trying to make change. Now, that's always an awesome thing to see. Thank God, I love my 50, but I really want 20 of it back. You know what I'm saying? Somebody else give a 20, please. You know, it's crazy, but it's true. Sacrificial giving also declares God's glory. When we sacrificially give, we are truly just praising God. Amen. I don't think anybody in this room is going to leave today and say, I don't know where my meal's coming from, right? I mean, if it is, come see us. We'll make it work, okay? But I don't see that. So when we sacrificially give like the widow, we literally are just giving God all the glory. Who deserves the glory today, church? God. The last point for this morning is this, is that God honors our generosity in worship. The widow did not give out of pride, did she? But she gave out of humility. When we talk about giving and we talk about worship, I think the one word that we have to discuss, and we'll close on it this morning, is humility. We talk about giving everything to God, and that's what the widow did, but she did it with a great deal of humility. I can imagine her at the treasury box, large position in the temple there. I can almost imagine her position, unlike the rich folks, I can imagine her position was probably more like this, do you not think? I'm just trying to hide it. Put it in. Don't make a scene. Don't want anybody to know. I'm going to get it in and I'm going to move along. I'm going to do that out of humility because, again, see, the widow didn't make it about her. Now, we read the story now in Scripture, and we know Jesus made it about the widow, amen, because we need to learn from her. But that was not her goal or her intention at all. Her goal and intention was to be in complete humbleness and humility before who? God. That's all she cared about pleasing. Now, is that our heart this morning in giving? Is that our heart in worship? To have such a humility that when we come, and I keep saying this room because this is where we come to what? We worship, right? This is our sanctuary or worship center. Okay? So when we come in this place, is that genuinely our desire through our giving? and through our giving worship. It's God, I want to come before you in complete humility and give everything before you. Does that matter, church? Does it matter? It absolutely does. Do you want to see God move in worship? Okay, I'm going to ask it again. Do you want to see God move in your worship? Well, He will, but guess where it starts? Isn't it awesome? Seems like I don't say it every week, but it's true. It starts with who? Us. Me and you. Making the decision to say, okay, God, now we talked about giving this week. I'm going to make the decision on Monday morning before Sunday morning to say, okay, God, I'm going to prepare myself in such a way that even in my giving, I'm going to do it in such a way that it only honors you. Now, I said at the beginning, we have an audience of one, right? Do you believe that this morning? Listen, if I'm your audience, you're way off base, okay? Trust me, okay? Way, way off, and we'll need to have a talk, okay? If Brian's your audience, way off base too, okay? Listen, God is our audience of one. And that matters. Because when we come in this place and we prepare on Monday to come in on a Sunday morning, our preparation better to be, God, I'm going to come in this humbleness, and God, I want to be just like the widow, and I want to give you everything in my worship. God knows your burdens. Give Him your burdens. Don't give Him part of them, right? What good does it do for you to say, okay, God, I'm going to give you 50% of my burden? What good does that do? Nothing. Give it all to God. What you have prayed about and committed to give to God through a tithe like the widow, give it cheerfully, heartily, joyful. And here's the last point this morning. If we can do those things, God will reward His worshipers. I wholeheartedly believe that. Now, how is He going to reward us, church? You ever think about that? I think He will bless us by the fact that when we get up and leave these little cushion pews and we go out these back doors, we're going to go out with joy in our hearts. When you're in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit moves, you will not, I promise you, you will not be able to leave a room without a smile on your face. You can try. I'll challenge you. When the Holy Spirit releases in a room, I want you to try to go out frowning. It's not going to work, okay? It's not going to happen. God says, worship through giving, humility, and come before Him just as the widow did. Say, God, I'm going to give it all to you. I trust you that much.